Hello again. Welcome to another edition of Big Chris Live, the live stream, then the podcast. You can find it everywhere you find podcasts, as they say, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Drop us a review on Apple Podcasts and the Dean Blundell Network, deanblundell.com, our podcast network host. My guest this evening is Dan Allaire. It's Dan Allaire Comedy, bitches.
Woo!
Hey, Dan, what's going on, man? Long time no see. My favorite person to see a concert with, Dan Allaire.
Yeah, the only, and I'll tell you everybody why, because for some weird reason, like I'm not a pot smoker, but this guy here is. Yeah. And every concert we've ever gone to together, somehow someone lights up a nasty one right next to us and just goes like, yeah. And I was like, no, but he wants it, you know, and then he just blazes all night on some other guy.
Dan was my lucky charm for getting free weed at concerts. You really were, man. That's why you're my favorite, man. But yeah, like what did we see? We saw three days grace with Velvet Revolver. That was the one time where it sealed the deal, I think, where you were like, it's official. You get free weed at every concert.
Well, the first one was Motley Crue.
Right.
We saw.
Yeah, that's right.
Motley Crue, and I know the two girls that were sitting in front of us, they split their albums up. You remember that? The albums were, they did like Theater of Pain, Shout at the Devil, and like their debut EP stuff. And the girls in front of us kept looking at each other like, we don't know any of this music. And then finally, the second half of the show, they did some stuff off of Girls, Girls, Girls. And the girls were like, oh, okay, good. But that whole time, you were oblivious to all of it because you were just having a hoot with the two fellas beside us because they brought the stash.
That's funny. Yeah, it's true, man. I also remember that concert too. And I remember just being like, shout at the devil. Like it's up in my fist up in the air. And then just looking down and these two girls are like, what's going on?
Yeah, they were literally like, what is this? What a waste of money.
Yeah, arms crossed.
Is this even them? They were waiting for like, Home Sweet Home and Dr. Feel. They were waiting for all the, you know, whatever mainstream breakthrough songs that Motley Crue had. But all the really heavy good stuff we were there for, they were oblivious to.
Yeah. The early stuff that the hardcore fans are there for. By the way, before we get too far into this podcast, I have to mention we have a new sponsor to Big Chris.
Sponsors. It's a big time.
Yeah, that's right. We want to say thank you to Dockin' Donuts for their sponsorship. When you need a good Dockin', you head on down to Dockin' Donuts. I hear the glory hole there is fantastic, actually.
It's actually delicious. It's not fantastic.
Yes.
That's how they feed them to you.
It's the cream center.
You just never know which one's coming through. You just open your mouth and some comes through the hole.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Quite the experience.
Yeah, that sounds that's like our last podcast with Oz. We were talking about the weed glory hole. Back to the weed for a second. He used to slide like a little tiny like pencil thing through a hole. He would stick like a 20 through the hole, and then you get like this little tiny thin thing back. And it's like, that's a weed glory hole is what that is.
That's one guys don't mind, but not too many men. Although if there was a wiener and a donut on the other end.
Yeah.
I think I might try it.
I would. If someone stuck a pastry through a hole in a wall, I would eat it. Yeah.
If we could redefine glory hole and what comes through it, then I might be interested.
Yeah, that's right. I think it just needs a rebranding, maybe. You know,
it's like the adult Kinder Surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do a nice little toy at the end too, right? Assemble the race car. Dan, I want you to take a look at this. Have you ever seen this? And I'm going to get Dan for our audio describers to describe what he sees. But have you ever seen anyone with this kind of talent?
That is a woman with large chesticles using said chesticle to crush a can of beer.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to see it again. I need to see it in slow motion, actually.
Oh, yeah. Nobody told me I was going to get a boner during this podcast.
So now you're making it weird. Why are you making it weird?
That's the last thing I thought would happen to me during this podcast, BK, would be a full erection. But here I am. That's a skill. It should be on her resume.
I was impressed when I met my wife, my girlfriend at the time, but now my wife.
You're telling me Lisa that has the skill? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm not saying she has that skill, but one of the things is I said, you know, my dream girl, can also drink as much whiskey as I can. And I finally met someone who did this. So yeah, Lisa has a good time. I've never seen her do that, but for some reason, I think she's capable. I think she, you know, I don't know why. I just think that she has the acumen.
Now, the real question is, how many glasses or drams of whiskey would she require in order to perform said task?
I would say probably 3/4 of a 26.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say deep into the 26.
See, yeah. It's good, though, that she drinks whiskey with you, because my wife, for years and years, I tried to get her to get into craft beer. I tried every style of craft beer, the lightest to the fruitiest, and nothing. No. But she does like whiskey, and I have a big collection at my bar here. So
I see you post on the gram all the time.
Yeah, it's a bad habit, and I actually am disappointed sometimes that she likes whiskey, because then I have to share it with her.
Yeah, that does become a problem when you get, you know, it's like, you know, you start having arguments over who drank the last quarter of the bottle, or who polished off that bottle or whatever.
Well, she's pretty, when I'm not around, she actually will text or call and say, like, okay, I'm going to have a dram without you here. Which one can I have? Or, like, just give me the bottles I shouldn't touch, just in case. Because the last thing you want is for her to take some of your top shelf stuff and, you know, we have mix it with something.
That's probably why we don't have this problem, is because I keep the good stuff in my I have a cabinet, like an antique cabinet that I inherited from my parents.
Locked?
Yeah, and it's got a little key, like a little antique key cabinet. And, you know, we keep like fine china. We keep a bunch of stuff in there. But I do keep the special bottles of whiskey or scotch in there, which is good. What's your top shelf?
I've got a 35-year-old Canadian club that my son got me for for Christmas. Geez, I don't remember them all because I touch them so infrequently. A couple of Irish whiskeys that I can't pronounce that came from the island, some Bowmore.
Bowmore's good.
Yeah, Bowmore's probably my go-to. I mean, is it the 12 that's a bit readily available all the time?
Yeah,
like
just at the LCBO,
80,
yeah.
90 bucks, but I've got a 20-year-old, and I also like Anoc. If you've never tried that, it's A-N-Big-C-O-C. They're 12 years really good, and it's affordable, but I'm going to be ordering some of their higher-end stuff because I have room on the top shelf now for that one.
Oh, yeah, making room. That's the best part, really, of the top shelf, is making room on the top shelf.
Yep. You know, every now and then you celebrate, right? When there's a reason to celebrate, you go to the top shelf, absolutely, you take one of those bottles off, and you have a few – well, I say a few drams. Depends on the night.
Yeah, my top shelf started a couple of years ago, just before the pandemic, and there was no shelf. You know, if there was whiskey in the house, we'd drink it. But then this was a bottle I said, I'm going to hang on to this for a specific reason. And then that reason recently, you know, sort of popped for me. Well, there's the news. We've talked about it plenty on the podcast. I told you personally. But, yeah, I got the gig at Shea 106.
Congrats.
You know, I'm working with a great guy who's really helping me tighten my shit up on radio. And you know, great legendary brand in the city, right? Like, I remember growing up in the Shea 106 balloon and the hot air balloon.
In the industry, we call that a heritage station, for sure. I mean, I grew up listening to Shea.
Yeah, yeah. So it's great. And then it dovetails in with my lifestyle, looking after the house and the baby and everything Monday to Friday, right? I'm obsessed with the garden. That's the other thing. I'm becoming a lawn guy.
Well, I've become a bird watcher, so I mean, I guess that goes with age.
Well, let me get you started on fucking birds, man. This has been my thing. They're pooping all over my backyard. Like, it's nuts.
And what kind of bird?
A starling. Starlings. And they, like, man, they're making it personal. Like, our windows, the back windows, the, like, Blair's little pool, her wading pool, you know, all sorts of different shit, man. It's wild. I can't keep up. Lisa bought me a pressure washer, and I can't even keep up with the pressure washing. There's so much shit. The fence, everything, the shed. So
I think you need a BB gun instead of a pressure washer.
That's what everyone keeps telling me, but I'm like, you know what? I don't have the time to sit on my back deck with a freaking BB gun or a pellet gun. I mean, again, it's about saving myself the time. And Lisa and I can't agree on this. I brought this up already on the podcast with Melanie at last episode, but I want to get a fucking owl, a mechanical or like a fake owl.
They work.
Do they?
They work. I don't even know if you need a mechanic. I don't even know if you need a mechanical one. I have friends in Cornwall that own a golf course.
Yeah.
And we actually did our morning show one day on the patio, and on a few of the tables, they've got these owls.
Yeah.
And they're just there. And I just thought it odd. And the owners told me, she's like, if we don't put those there overnight, these things drop bombs all over the, they just come and sleep here. And they make a mess. So I fully endorse buying the. I don't know if it needs to make sounds. If you want to save a couple of bucks, maybe you don't get the one that makes sounds, because that one looks like that's, well, that's only $30, I guess. So it's not the end of the world. But look at that. See, people are on your team there. 86% yes.
Yeah.
I think it's a foregone conclusion. Father's Day is coming up, dude. You're a dad.
That's true. My wife refuses. She doesn't want it, so she's not going to get it for me.
Because it looks tacky? Is that why she doesn't want it?
She says, all right, she says the neighbors will complain. They'll call bylaw because of the hooing, because of the noise it makes.
just
weak.
That's fucking weak. Get the fake one, though. You don't need a hooing one.
Okay, yeah, that's true. But again, I think it's just a weak-ass fucking excuse, because she's probably, you're right. I think she thinks it's tacky.
Oh, that's, I'm sure it's tacky. But what's worse, having a hooing owl in the backyard that might be a little on the tacky side, or a pile of bird shit? I mean, the decision's pretty simple.
And like, I'm the guy running the house now. That's my role, right? Like, I look after...
You're digging in. Hey, I like it.
I'm digging into this role, and I want to, if I'm responsible for that back deck, I'm responsible for the windows. I want to make sure that I don't have, again, it's saving myself time in the long run. That's the way I look at it. So thank you for backing me up. Everybody's on my side. Lisa knows she's outnumbered. Even my mom is like, I'm thinking of getting an owl. And I'm like, Mom, you don't have a bird poop problem. But I saw one, and there's a 2-for-1 deal, and I'll get one and I'll give you the other one. Like, my mom's even trying to like subvert Lisa's plans.
See, we're the other way around here. Our house is like a hotel. I could film nature documentaries where we live. It's insane. We had robins lay eggs right above our front door for 4 years in a row.
Oh, that's cute.
And the robin didn't come back this year, and I find out that robins only live 4 or 5 years, so she probably either died or got eaten by something at some point. Hard winter. But this year we had a warbler lay some eggs, and very interesting. And then we had one big egg and 3 smaller eggs. They didn't look at all the same. And we did some research. Apparently, there are birds that will take an egg out, throw it on the ground, because we saw the broken egg, and lay an egg and dupe the warbler mother to incubate and raise then feed the baby, and then come back when the baby's ready to fly.
Basically, the baby daddy comes out of jail and comes looking for his kid.
Exactly. What? Oh, he got parole, and here he comes. But we woke up one day, the nest was on the front porch, and there were eggshells and nothing. Something knocked it off and ate them. So they were gone. And now we have a robin perched in the old robin spot with 3 eggs ready to hatch. Just what I'm telling you. We are the bird people. We have 2 different kinds of woodpeckers hanging out in the backyard. We have yellow finches. Yeah,
They're not pecking the house, though.
No, thankfully, so far, the only thing we've ever caught one doing was pecking the satellite dish, and it didn't last very long.
Yeah, and that's under warranty anyway.
The house high and low. We heard this racket. We were like, what is happening? It was like rhythmic, but not, there was no pattern to it, so we couldn't find it. And then eventually we looked out one of the windows, and there was a woodpecker perched on it and just trying to peck at the dish. It was weird.
Yeah, I'm not as worried about that, because you just call Bell or whoever your dish provider is and be like, yo, the satellite's broken, come fix it. Like, it's not your problem. It's like you're renting, you know. But if it's pecking off like your siding, that happened. So this reminded me, my war with the starlings and their bird poop reminded me, when I was a kid, there was a woodpecker pecking the window, frame of our kitchen window when I was a kid. And my dad, it was like driving him crazy. And I just remember him out there like every Saturday and Sunday, like just trying to come up with a solution for it. I was totally relating. I'm like, oh God, I'm there now. That's where I am in my life. You're a bird watcher. I'm a bird warrior. You know, that's where we're at in our lives, man. But it's totally opposite, because your kids are all grown up. Dan is in his kids' His kid's gaming chair, and you're using his gaming setup.
Like, there's anime posters here, and he had to make his bed for me just so you don't see.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and there's no way I'm touching his laptop. I don't know what DNA is on there.
No.
So, yeah, that's where I am. Because we're in the country, we have crap Wi-Fi here.
Yeah.
But he bought, like, a booster. He's got a booster in here. Like, this is, if I hit the wrong button, I'm going through the ceiling. I'm sure there's an eject button here somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, it's totally opposite ends of our spectrum.
Look at this chair, man. Look at this thing. This is like the best chair in the world. It's a gaming chair. It's awesome.
Yeah, Lisa wanted me to get a gaming chair. She was like, I've got like a stool, like a wooden stool. You know, like it's real kind of like Spartan around here. And she's like, I feel so bad for your ass. I feel so bad for your lower back. You know, like she's like, you need to get one of those chairs. And I'm like, you know, I just don't want a racing chair for my professional workspace or professional.
You might want to reconsider though, man, because this is some real comfy stuff here.
That's what everyone says. Maybe I'm gonna have to find like a pseudo like business type gaming chair? You know, like if you're like the CEO of a gaming company.
Well, yeah, because it's like if I told you I'm not a gamer and then somehow you see this behind me, you're like, liar. That's
yeah, exactly.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure you can get a matte black one that's incognito.
I hope so. I'll do the research again. Like, you know, it's for the good of my posture. You know,
it's for your like your wife says, take care of your ass.
Yeah, I want to take care of her ass. Yeah. I'm sorry, she's gone on a work road trip. I'm missing her right now. There's a funny. I can't remember the name of the place, but this is a funny thing. From when I lived in Cornwall, Ontario, and Dan and I worked together. And you're still there doing the morning show. Boom, 101. Is it 101.1?
101.9.
Oh my God. It's funny because I work there. I should know that.
Yeah, that's true.
Boom, 101.9 in Cornwall.
It was Rock 101.9 when you were here.
That's right. Yeah. It's like this. I have this funny habit of taking the rock and roll with me when I leave. Yeah, it follows me around. Short story long, what was the name of the Chinese restaurant place?
Jack Lee's.
That's right. I saw this news article and it made me think of our times and our lunch breaks. I can't believe we ate that much and our lunch breaks at Jack Lee's in Cornwall, but local man paralyzed after eating 413 chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
Well,
the Jack Lee's is the thing about coming to a Cornwall buffet that you got to tell people.
Okay.
When you come to the Cornwall Chinese buffet, we only have one now. We used to have two, and the other one closed during the pandemic.
Yeah.
I think there was a bat shortage after for the chicken balls. But Jack Lee's has chicken wings on the buffet and French fries.
Yeah.
Like that's because we don't have a lot of culture here on a good day. And, you know, the people that are going to a Chinese buffet, now when they go to Chinese buffets out of town that are a little bit more authentic, they're like, where are the fries?
I love Cornwall, man. That's what I liked about it. I liked it was just a come as you are.
You like that we're uncultured. That's nice.
That was my favorite part.
Part of the charm.
Just letting it all hang out, you know, for better or for worse.
Well, I do a bit when I'm on the road and I get introduced. I do stand-up comedy. And when I do comedy on the road, and they were like, our next comic all the way from Cornwall. This is a true story, but I always say if I don't want to talk a lot about it, I don't have a lot of time. I always say very quickly, if you don't know much about Cornwall, I'll tell you one fact and then I'll move on. We used to have a bar that accepted Canadian Tire money at par. and that's all you need to know.
Great way of putting it.
Any Cornwallites watching that are old enough will remember the old fort on Second Street. Sadly, it burned down. I think it was in 97. But yeah, that place accepted Canadian Tire money at par, and believe it or not,
And sadly, it burned down. insurance fraud much? What
the fuck? Do you know that story? There was an insurance fraud story that was connected.
Oh, really?
To the fire.
I guessed it. I nailed it.
Yeah. Canadian Tire money at par. And I don't know if you recall, I believe it was in the early 90s, Ontario passed the topless law for women. You know, some women fought to have the right to bare their breasts in public because men can take their shirt off anywhere. Why can't women?
Yeah.
And so after that law passed, that same bar had topless waitresses. So if you were in Cornwall and someone invited you to a place called the Old Fort, would you roll the dice to go and see what the topless waitresses look like in that place?
No. No, Old Fort and like cheese. That's what I think of when I hear Old Fort.
Well, the beers would show up half empty because the girls with the waitresses kept tripping on their tits on the way to the table. Stealing the beer. So it was bad. It was bad.
Dan, if you want this comedy thing to go any further, you're going to have to start saying that you're from Ottawa instead of Cornwall. The Barstool Prophets did.
But Cornwall, it's funny because Cornwall... When I'm on the road, especially Ottawa, low-hanging fruit, like Cornwall takes a beating.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All of my colleagues in comedy in Ottawa, even Montreal, not so much, but if you bring up – everyone knows where Cornwall is and a little bit about it, but sadly, it's never good, right? It's either like, does that paper mill still exist? Is it still reek in Cornwall? That's what I get. That's the level of knowledge most people know.
And it was when I was on in Cornwall and living in Cornwall, that was when the factory shut down. I remember the last whistle and that whole business, right?
Yeah.
That was half the city was employed there. And
yeah, it was a lot.
Now the major employer in Cornwall is what? Crippling depression or?
That along with Walmart Logistics. We have a lot of, what do they call that? The logistics market, right? We've got a Shoppers Drug Mart warehouse here. We've got a Walmart warehouse here. And the Walmart one is insane. It's over 1.something million square feet. It's our now logistics is our biggest employer in the city for sure.
Okay. Well, I'm glad there is, something positive happening there, Is La Maison still a thing? Do you do a show there? You do a comedy show at La Maison.
I host a monthly show at La Maison. It's still rolling. It's got
Can I come? Orders. Can
yes.
I come?
Yes.
Okay.
June 28th, I have an open mic. I would love it if you came down for that.
June 28th. Okay. Before I commit, let me take a look at the cow.
It's a Tuesday night. I've got anytime you walk in that door it's an open mic, so it's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of first timers. I know you're not a first timer.
No, but still. I like the open mics. Unfortunately, I have in my calendar Lisa Exec Walk in Niagara Falls. So she's out of town on that 28th. And that means that I'm looking after the baby. There's nobody to.
You're parenting. Well, they'll be. You know what? Now consider this the flair I needed to. Next time I do one, I will definitely reach out to you.
Please do. Yeah. I I've been on hiatus from comedy because, pandemic and then baby. But I do want to come back. I've been saying it for fucking like a year now. I want to get back. So I will make whatever my next gig is, my first return to comedy, I will make that a Dan Allaire show wherever that happens to be. Okay, man.
Right on. Yeah. And I'm in Ottawa all the time. Like
I know you were here. I saw you were here at the Royal Oak in Barrhaven. It wasn't one of your shows, but you were on the show.
Yeah, I hosted that night. What a great place too. I had never been to that location of the Royal Oak. There's a place I used to do a show for Yucks called the Jolly Taxpayer. Maybe that will come back at some point. Again, people are still kind of dusting themselves off and rebuilding. Sure. But I host at the Yucks Club often enough at the Marriott. They're on Kent Street at the Marriott now.
Nice.
And I was there 2 weeks ago, and it was Ron Jossel and Jean-Paul that were co-headlining. With me, I was just hosting, and these two guys are on Roast Battle Canada. The premiere was last night, so it's cool. Like the Ottawa's got some real talent coming through there.
For sure,
Sophie,
it does.
Sophie Buttle also on Roast Battle Canada. I did a show with her on a pirate ship on the Rideau River last year.
So, I mean, that's the other thing too. Like comedy shows happen in the weirdest of fucking places, right? Like on a pirate ship. What you say that, and it's like, it's kind of funny for us, like it's a chuckle, but other people are like probably listening being like, what the fuck, a fucking pirate ship? Yeah, that's where you do comedy.
Crazier than that, I actually have a pirate joke. Like, my first set that I ever did.
He does so many pirate ships that he has to have a pirate ship joke.
That's the only one I've ever done. But I the first set I ever did, one of the first jokes I ever wrote 5 years ago, has pirate references to it. And so I was like, you know what? I had 20 minutes on the boat, right? So I was like, okay. I'm going to blow the dust off that one, and I can't not do the one already written joke on the boat that's about pirates on a pirate ship. And it worked out well. It's probably one of my dirtier jokes, too, because it's all about the dirty pirate.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I always tell people, don't Google that at work in the Urban Dictionary, because HR will show up at your desk. But yeah, I believe it or not, I had a pirate joke locked and loaded from an old set for the pirate ship last summer.
I would have just gone on stage and be like, hey, you guys, and then just did the rest of my bit. Like, I would have just left
it alone. Can I slide down the mast on the way down to start my set? Yeah.
Yeah. Just swing in on a rope with a knife in my mouth? Yeah, right, sure. Why not? That's what, excuse me, that's what I love. Dan, I love seeing it. I'm glad we finally connected, you know, and schedules are busy. But, like, dude, you're hustling. You're like, oh, that was an old set, or that was this, and I'm doing 20 minutes here. Like, man, like, I think I have maybe 10 good minutes, maybe 15, maybe 20 of, like, sort of subpar. But I'm, like, that. The fact that Dan is doing, like, 3-4 nights a week easily.
Well, now that we're rolling again, it's starting to get that way. Yeah, I slowed down a little bit in the summer because my wife is a teacher, so I try.
Yeah, right.
I also try and book gigs that can turn into either date nights or getaways. Right, we kind of combine the two. Package it up.
Yeah.
But like just before the pandemic hit, like a lot of people, like things were rolling for me, and I was writing a lot and I was getting booked a lot, and then Zoom shows just sucked the life right out of me, like a lot of people. I did some, but I really didn't enjoy them more than that. And then, you know, every time we'd come out of lockdown for a little bit with the plexiglass and the whatevers, it just ebbed and flowed. And now that we're back out and doing it again, when we came out of that last lockdown early in the year, I probably did more writing than I had the whole time we were locked down because we were living again, right?
Yeah.
You're motivated. You're doing stuff. So I've probably written about 10 or 15 new minutes, if not more, since February. And I've been, you know, I've written a couple of jokes in the last 2 weeks. One is stage tested and working, and the other one is still waiting for June. You could have saw it June 28th for the first time. But I'm doing a lot of writing, and, you know, things are, again, I'm performing more again, and it's starting to roll. As a matter of fact, on Saturday, just this past weekend, I was invited to Toronto at Yuck Yucks to perform and feature for Mark Breslin. He saw me in Ottawa last summer.
So the guy, the Yuck Yucks guy.
Yeah, the guy saw me last year on a patio on a August night late show with 12 people in the crowd.
But he was one of them.
And he was I didn't count him. He was in the back with Howard, the owner. So 12 audience members, but, you know, he saw something through just 12 people, and he said he wanted to see me in his club in Toronto, and he gave me his card. We kept in touch, and Saturday night I went and featured in Toronto, had a great set. It went super good, had a nice meeting with him afterwards, and some opportunities are going to be coming my way through the Yuck Yucks brand. As a matter of fact, I'll likely be my first non-Ottawa. I'm at Yuck Yucks Ottawa the 18th, 19th, and 20th, coming up in August.
Yeah.
And then just before that, my wife and I are heading to Halifax for a few days.
Oh,
and
there's your getaway. There's the getaway.
Yeah. But I'm likely going to be on the August 6th show at Yucks Halifax, hopefully. Mark said he would organize that for me. So, things are starting to happen, and
And then you got the radio gig too. Like, you got the morning radio thing in Cornwall. Like, you're a fixture there. Like, it's you're a known quantity, a known personality in the city. So it's like, so you've kind of got like gravy on top of everything. Like, this is a whole new venture, really. Yeah, in a lot of ways.
A lot of people, a lot of comedians, like, they know I get up early in the morning, right? 4 o'clock, you get up in the morning, and if you're doing comedy, you're likely out late,
And that's how I don't know. That's why I don't know how you're doing it, man. Like, when I was doing mornings in Barrie, I was like, how is this guy out? He works the same hours as me. How's this guy out like four nights a week? I could barely do one open mic like on a Tuesday, and then I got to, you know, that's it. That's all I got. The juice that I have.
I will say naps. I mean, I take naps. It's a joke when I come home. My mom lives at my house, right? And when I come home late morning or it's early afternoon and I head towards our bedroom, she's always like, oh, good night. I'm like, I'm going to have a little nap. But I always say the same thing to people, like comedy, you know, you've got to be on, you've got to be sharp, you know, you got to bring it. And same with morning radio. But when I get up in the morning, there's coffee in the world and it's a 4-hour show. I'm not in charge. I'm not going to hurt anybody. I'm not operating heavy machinery. I'm not responsible for anyone's well-being, I guess, like physical. So I can pull it off. And as you can attest, you love radio probably maybe more than I do. And I love that. Love the career. love doing comedy, right? And when you love something, you know, it's such a hokey saying you don't work a day in your life. I work, but I enjoy every minute of it. And I'm a road tripper on top of that. Like that commute, I listen to podcasts. I listen to
having that time in the car too, as I know from commuting for 6 years of my life from Newmarket to Barrie, 1 hour one way, you know, like 2 hours a day in the car, just to get to work. I listen to a ton of podcasts. I listen to a ton of stuff. And that's the worst part. Like Lisa's like, oh man, you're missing Marc Maron these days. Are you? I'm like, yeah, I am. You know, I don't want to say the name. It's like saying Voldemort these days, but you know, I miss Joe Rogan. I want to get an update on elk meat and get an update on aliens and shit. Like, you know, all the other stuff that people complain about Joe Rogan, man, I'm not there for that shit. I'm there for the aliens. I'm there for the DMT trips and the mushrooms and the, you know, I want to hear about the drugs and the crazy experiences, right? I don't want to do DMT myself, but I want to hear about it.
The thing with Rogan though, his podcasts are like 3 hours long.
Well, that's, again, when you're driving 2 hours a day in your car, I would crush one half on the way to work.
Yeah,
one half on the way back.
So there's two of them that I listen to every week. And one comic is on both of them. One of them is called We Might Be Drunk with Mark Norman and Sam Morril.
Man, Mark Norman is my favorite right now.
Well, I'm going to tell you a story about him in a moment then.
Yeah.
And then the other one I love is called Tuesdays with Stories.
Yeah.
And that's with Joe List and Mark Norman.
Yeah.
So I'm a Tuesday. That's what you call yourself if you're a fan of the podcast. The Tuesday. They call us Tuesdays. I'm doing the Portland, Maine Comedy Festival in August. I'm heading down to Portland, Maine. And who's closing out the festival? Nope. Mark Norman.
Yeah. Mark Norman. Oh, man.
So I'm so pumped. I'm getting my tickets for the early show. And I get to do two shows sometime between Friday and Sunday. And then Sunday night, Norman closes it out, and I am beyond excited to go. I told my wife, we were going to come home on the Sunday until I saw he was closing it out. And I said, there's no way I'm going to be in the same city as one of my favorite comedians way he performs, the way he writes, to the podcast that he does.
It's his writing, man.
Oh, they're so good. I can't be that close and not go see. I don't care how much the show is. I don't think it's included in my festival credential stuff that I'll have, but I'm so excited about it.
Yeah, I love his writing and you know, listen, I'll watch his, you know, his specials, you know, on YouTube. I'll listen to him, you know, but the thing that I love the most about Mark Norman is his Twitter. And again, that's just how good of a writer he is, because he can cram so many laughs on so many different levels too into a fucking 160 character tweet.
If you've seen him, if you've heard him on a podcast, he uses a lot of his tweets as a testing ground.
Yeah.
For his writing. And he'll tweet something out, and if it gets a good response, like quickly, if he sees the likes climbing more than like, you know, 10 or 20 per minute, he's like, okay, there's something here. And then he'll move it to the write it pile.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I've been operating for years. It was like comedy and Twitter and social media, just in general, things that I found funny or things that I'd post on social media that would get a great response. I would craft those into a bit that would either be for this podcast or for the radio show or both, or a longer version for the podcast, and a, you know, and a 45-second minute version of, you know, for radio. You know, there's you know, it just cycles. You know, it's nice having like those different outlets that you can, you know, sort of cycle your material around, and then eventually it gets distilled into its best version.
Yep. I have I have three bits that I could close with. I have three what I would call closers, and all three two of the three of them started on my morning show. You know, they were things I did on the morning show, and if there's an idea there, it stays in your head and it bounces around even subconsciously for a little while, and then all of a sudden, boom, something hits. I take out my phone, make a couple of notes, and like one of them, I think we did on the air 5 or 6 years ago. And it just, for whatever reason, when I started writing jokes, I remembered talking about these candles, and I wrote a whole bit on them, and I close with it. And I love, it's my favorite joke, my absolute favorite. Like, I will be sad the day I retire it.
The day that Mark Breslin comes to you and is like, you know, Dan, the candles bit, you know, we can just retire that.
Well, he's only heard it the one time. So I've got, again, it's not like I perform like these guys. They're full time, right? These guys write on the road. They're gone every weekend. They do all sorts of stuff. As busy as I am, I'm not anywhere near the schedule of a full time comic. But I, you know, believe it or not, I consider my, like, there's pro-am, I'll still do open mics and all that other stuff. I haven't like completely arrived, but I do consider myself a professional comedian because I get paid for my craft and I do corporate events. And
the fact that you get paid, man, the fact that you get paid is that makes you a professional. You know, I think I got paid a couple of times, but not really. Most of my gigs, speaking of doing comedy, like 4 or 5 nights a week, that was in Hamilton. Like in Hamilton, man, I was out every night of the week because it was not only that, you do some comedy or you maybe do a couple of different joints, you know, along one street. But then you would go for beers with your friends. Like my buddy Scotty would be DJing down the street or whatever. And I'd pop in and see him. And like, I was just, again, I was out drinking every night of the week, which, you know, was on par for a 30-year-old me. And, and, you know, and out on the scene. So, you know, it started with comedy. Comedy was the appetizer for my evening. But yeah, I'd be like, speaking of doing gigs in pirate ships and weird places, like I did comedy at a Jewish deli, you know, I did comedy at a laundromat. I did comedy, you know, like all these places, there's just pop up indie comedy. And that was the great thing about Hamilton, man. It's a great comedy scene. If you want to branch out, man, get into Hamilton, Dan. There's some great shit happening there. Great group of guys.
Well, the one of the things that, I mean, I'm in Cornwall, right? So there's no scene here.
You are the scene.
I don't have the opportunity here that I do in other cities. So I travel to Ottawa and Montreal primarily. If I have enough new material that I want to try, I'll go, you know, travel for maybe a beer ticket or a drink or whatever. But for the most part, I like to get some compensation, at least cover my gas. Yeah, at the end of the, especially with the price of gas now. But at some point in time, I've made enough connections over the last 3 years that at some point the goal is to head to Toronto and spend a few nights there and hop on a few shows just to get some exposure in a bigger market than I have been around here. Same with Montreal. I just need to find a couch to crash on. That's the thing, right? I don't want to go there and spend thousands of dollars in accommodations and gas and craziness, a little couch here, and maybe split an Airbnb with another comic who'd want to do it there, get a little bit more exposure, because there's a club in Hamilton called Levity Comedy Club, and I'd love to go there and do a weekend. So at some point in time,
I know the guys, kind of, you know, I can you know, pass the puck there whenever you like. I can make the introduction.
I'll probably end up sending them something late because I obviously the summer is a crazy time for everybody. So in the fall, I'll probably send out a few more targeted emails with my with one or two of my sets in it, so they can kind of have a look at what I do. And I love the road tripping, and you get the bug into something. I started doing this. I'm going to be 49 in October. And I started doing this at 44 years old. But it was something I always wanted to do, right? It's always been there. And what allowed me to do it is the opposite of, like, our lives are, like, backwards. right? Yeah. Like I kind of wanted to do it, but I never did any of it before my kids were born and older. And you started it and you got the bug. And now you've got, how old is Blair?
Like a year and 3 months. Yeah. Like, so, dude, it's so funny. That's because when you say, like, oh, I'm going to be 49, and I'm like, holy shit, he's like only eight. I forgot how close we were in age. You're like 7-8 years older than me. But you have like a teenage kid who plays video games.
Not really. And he's going to be 20 next month. So,
fucking exactly. That's what I'm talking about right there. Fucking exactly. And I'm like, friggin' I'm breaking down already, you know, and she's a year and a bit, like just a year and a smidge. So, yeah, I mean, good on you for getting it done early, my friend. Because now you're free. Now you're free to just go out and do the things. And now I'm locked down.
That's
no more smoking weed at concerts.
Well, we might be able to find one, B. I'm sure we could find one at some point. Yeah. But for us, it was, the comedy thing wasn't in the picture, but it was a calculated move. When we got married in 98, our first plan when we got married was, hey, we're going to travel. We're going to wait 3 years to have kids. And then we realized, to travel, it costs money. And we don't have any money. Not that kids are free.
I was going to say, it's only a kid.
just meaning that, you know, to travel and spend like hundreds or thousands of dollars on something you get no return on other than memories and a good time at that point made no sense because we wanted to buy a house and start a family or whatever. So we had Jeannie, we got married in 98 and she was born in December 99. So we had our first kid early and then Max was 02. And then, you know, the plan, like we're not going to be 50 and both of our kids will be, you know, well onto their careers and we don't have to worry about them. That's why I'm able to do what I do and do all these road trips to Kingston, Ottawa, Montreal, and these odd getaways to Toronto is because my kids are self-sufficient.
And meanwhile, I'm going to have a fucking cane at my daughter's high school grad.
whose grandfather is that? That's Blair's dad.
that's where it's at. Like, I'm going to have a whole different list of concerns than, like, all the other parents there, you know? They're going to be all about, like, oh, yes, we're saving our RSPs. And I'm going to be like, no, my RSPs are running out. Fuck.
She'll be changing your diaper.
Yeah, pretty much. Hey, happy high school grad, honey. Now you need to come and look after me.
Well, my daughter is currently a PSW.
Good move.
And that's what they do. She's going back to school in September to take her RN program.
Oh, okay.
But I was like, oh, good. You know, you're a PSW. She goes, if there's one arse I'm not wiping, there's one diaper I'm not changing. It's yours. Never. I'm like, all right.
Well, she's probably been in the bathroom after you, too, in her life. So she already got a taste. Yeah,
I do not want to go anywhere near that when it's fresh.
It's Dan Allaire Comedy, bitches. Find him on social media. What's the social tag?
It is Dan Allaire Comedy, both on Facebook and on Instagram.
Awesome. But Dan, thanks for being on the podcast tonight. Great connecting. Come back again when schedules allow. Love to have you back. Always some good laughs. And
great to see you. And I'm coming to Ottawa. We're going to do lunch or we're going to do something. Yeah. It's long overdue. You're too close now to not make it happen.
That's that. You know, a lot of people have been saying that. And it'd be great to connect, man, in person, too, because I'm over the COVID and whatnot. And because I got my taste and smell back, I'm happy to go for lunch. Booyah.
I'm also a survivor, so we're good.
Yeah, we all made it, friends.
Kids. I'm your eager beaver.
And I'm Mr. Grizzly.
If you love politics
or hate politics,
then have we the perfect podcast for you.
The True North Eager Beaver.
Incisive political commentary.
We keep you up to date
and give you the political and media literacy you seek
to help you
cut through the bovine fecal matter.
Facts first.
Sound analysis.
Sometimes I growl.
Sometimes I sass.
We impart civics and build community.
And we share some laughs along the way.
Being informed
and engaged has never been more fabulous.
Or sexy. Catch us on the Dean Blundell Network. Or on our YouTube channel.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because democracy is something you do.
Do, did, will. The Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.